Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, so we are live, and actually we are transmitting to the Eurocon, and I thank, of course, Srinivasava for joining us and giving this presentation. And the real presentation of Srin will be given in a few seconds by Claudio. I met Srin many years ago when we were in Japan discussing tunes, and I was trying miserably to help with my poor Japanese. But it was a friendship that started many years ago and has continued over the years and over the various facts of life. Srin is not only a very accomplished programmer. He basically developed many specific parts for tunes and then made the transition to OpenTunes, as will be described by him and by Claudio. But he is also a very, very good artist, and he can draw and make a very different illustration, the plot, and for cover pages, the description, and he has a very unique style that I recommend you to check out. So he nicely has agreed to give us this unique view on the production within Ghibli and how Toons and OpenToons now are inserted in this production and all the tricks of the art. So before passing the word to Shun, I would ask to Claudio to do the proper introduction, since you are the boss, Claudio.
Thank you very much, Marco. At the end of the day, I guess I know Shun at least from something like 2 decades, and so it's a long time. And it's a privilege for me to be able to introduce Shun to this conference. And based on the discussions we had before, I feel appropriate to let you know what the relationship was between Shun and me, and talk a little bit about Toons, because Toons is the reason why we got acquainted and we started working together. As you might know, Shun is with Ghibli for a long time, and he was one of the original developers of the studio. The studio Ghibli selected, thanks to Miyazaki and and the importance he gives to the quality of the line, selected Toons, a product, an Italian product developed by my company. That's why the entire story started. He went across the many years we worked together and ended up with Shun finally launching and being the soul of initiative, which we appreciated very much. You might see on the shoulders of Shun a panel saying OpenTunes. OpenTunes is an open, fantastic Shun. OpenTunes is an open source project driven by Shun and by the passion of Shun, which finally will be able to provide a very professional solution. How much professional? Just think who is using this software. Ghibli is using this software. So, I mean, it's definitely a professional solution for the animation industry. And I believe that in this presentation, Shun will let us know more about that. For me, that's all. I only want to take this opportunity, before again passing the word to Shun, to thank you, the organization, for the great job done. As I was saying on the private line to Marco, it was a bold initiative, well conducted in a very safe way. So for one time, it's a restart which we are looking for from a long time. And from the other time, is a convention which is driven in a very safe way. Thank you very much to everyone of the organization, and especially to Flora and Marco. Shun, please, let us know more about you. There is one more thing I want to say about Shun. I'm sorry about
Okay.
that. I mean, sometimes programmers and artists don't talk very much, don't get acquainted very much, because, I mean, it's a different mind. Now, Shun is the kind of developer with a artistic background, and I believe this sensibility had something more and permit Shun to better understand the needs. You will see the work he will present. It's certainly scientific driven, but explicitly for the ambition of Shun, sometimes it's the creative part just overcome the physics. which is, I believe, a choice, an artistic choice, and the ability for a programmer to understand it. It's one more reason why you are doing a great job, Sean. Please let us know more.
Thank you. Thank you, Claudio-san and Marco-san. Now, let me start my presentation. My presentation titled, can you hear my voice? It's okay. Titled,
we hear you.
Okay. My presentation titled, Developing Visual Effects for Ghibli Animation. I know this is a science fiction convention, but to be honest, I will not be talking about science fiction, but rather how science is utilized to create fiction. So I hope you will enjoy it. First of all, I'm Shun Iwasawa. I work at Studio Ghibli as a programmer. Actually, I'm the only programmer there as of now. And I have two main jobs. First, developing and maintaining the production software. The second, developing new visual effects. And today, I'm going to talk about my job, especially about the second one, developing new visual effects. So let's start at the beginning about the animation. If you look at one film still of animation, there are actually various staff involved in its creation. Like this, animators draw moving characters and bring them to life. A color designer decides colors of every part of characters fitting in the scene. And with these colors, ink and painters paint every single drawings. Background artists paint the background, which defines the perspective of the world of the film. And finally, digital compositors composite the background and the characters, apply camera work and visual effects to finalize the animated film. And this is our production workflow in Studio Ghibli in more detailed schematic. And until the animation and background workflows, we work on paper. It's so-called analog workflows. And in the subsequent workflows like ink and paint, color designing, digital compositing, we work on computers. And we use a software named OpenToons for these three digital workflows, color designing, ink and paint, and digital compositing. OpenToons is one of the 2D animation production software. It is based on the software Toons, developed by the Italian company, Digital Video, the Claudio-san's company, you know. And one of the unique characteristics of OpenToons is that the software is developed open source. One of my jobs is to develop and maintain OpenToons to meet the demand by staffs in our studio. The other one is to develop the new visual effects. The visual effects are used in the digital compositing workflow. So let me talk about the visual effects. I would like to start with a very basic principle for sharing the same perspective with me. This is quite sudden, but let's think about drawing a tree. A tree usually has a lot of leaves. The problem is how to draw them. Draw a lot of leaves. For instance, you may draw the tree like this, depicting a bunch of leaves as a single volume. Or if you'd like to draw more in detail, you may draw every single leaves like this. This one is also cute. Looks like a tree in a picture book. However, if you'd like to draw a tree more realistic and natural, it would become a difficult problem that, it would become a difficult problem that where and how to draw a lot of leaves. Doing a lot of things by repetition is what computer is good at. Computers are good at repeating work, following some provided rules. In other words, before letting computers work, you need to give them proper rules. On the other hand, humans are generally not very good at repetition. You know, we will get tired through repeating work. Each output will contain unintended variation and distortion. I think this inaccurateness will make drawings attractive, though. If you'd like the computers to work without accuracy, you need to purposely set the rules to be inaccurate. The rules for computer is programming code. Programmers like me write some special format of text like this and set the rules for how computer works. Now, let's put yourself in the mind of a computer graphics programmer. For instance, assume that we already have a drawing of a bear tree like this. How do you draw the leaves on the tree with computer graphics? As I said, computer works based on rules. So, for instance, I will write a rule like draw 1,000 leaves. The computer returns a result like this. Oh, what a mess. Why does this happen? Because the rule was not proper. It was too insufficient. So I modify the rule like this. Draw 1,000 leaves around the tree. Actually, computer does not recognize which is that tree. So I define the tree as brown part in the picture. With the modified rule, the computer output would be like this. It becomes much better, but does not look like a tree at all. The rule still seems to be insufficient. So I modify the rule again like this. Draw 1,000 leaves around the tree except the trunk. The computer output like this. Finally, we got the best tree picture ever. But wait. Check the leaves in close-up. Like this. Every single leaves are in upward direction. This is unnatural. The rule still seems to have a room for improvement. It's not insufficient. Now we need to be back to basics. Let's think about what are the leaves in nature in the first place. Leaves perform photosynthesis. In order to maximize exposure to sunlight, they try to minimize overlap with each other. Also, leaves come out from stems. There are some types of arrangement. Not only these characteristics, but also many natural rules can be listed for defining the appearance of the leaves. So, after you observe and study the actual leaves in nature, You can add the natural rules to the computer graphics, like direction of leaves, sunlight, glows, propagation of water, etc., etc. Just by adding a portion of them, the computer graphics becomes more natural, like this. It's very better. It's very nice. If you'd like to improve further, you already know how. Introduce more natural rules. Now you are at the starting line to be a visual effects programmer. To recap, developing visual effect is drawing a picture with computation. In principle, it starts with observing or studying the natural phenomena and find underlying some mathematical rules. It is called the modeling process. Then, providing such rules to computer as programming code. Since they are based on the rules from nature, the output picture can have natural looking in some aspect. Nowadays, trees can be made with computer graphics so realistic like this. This is actually not my computer graphics, but this is from a website of some commercial software for making 3D tree models. But wait, please remember that I'm working at the animation studio, which is known for 2D animation. Is it suitable for our animation to make a photorealistic CG tree? I don't think so. If you put too realistic or too polygonish CG trees on the picture of hand-drawn animation, they would not fit in. Audiences will easily distinguish the CG and other non-CG parts in the picture. They will feel uneasy to such unnaturalness and cannot focus on the story. So when making CG for our animation, they need to imitate the hand-drawn style. I just talked about observing nature to reproduce the natural-looking picture. But in Studio Ghibli, we also need to observe the style of hand-drawn animation and find the rules behind it in order to make CG look like hand-drawn. This drawing, this painting, is one of the background paintings from our film. You can see there are many trees painted in it, and you may find some rules by observing them. The first rule would be about levels of details. The more the trees are close to the camera, the more they are painted in detail. In the close view, you can recognize every single leaf. But in the middle view, the details are omitted and the shapes is more recognized by bunches of leaves, like this. And in the distant view, the trees has very small details so that their shapes are recognized by whole body. The second rule would be how they paint the light and shadow. Looking closer, you can see the light and shadow parts are clearly separated. This is because in the background painting, they use poster paints, which are opaque watercolor. The painting is done in several steps. The details of the trees, like painting leaves, is done in the final step. And in the final step of painting, they rarely mix colors and create gradation on paper. Based on these rules, I once tried to develop a software to make a CG tree in hand-drawn style. The actual painting is on the left, and the computer graphics tree is on the right. How is it? it's not so good. Unfortunately, this software has not been used for any film yet, but I still have hope for this. So mimicking the hand-drawn animation style is actually a policy for the CG department of Studio Ghibli, which is in order to fit in the picture and slightly enrich the picture. To achieve such policy, it is important that not only simulating natural phenomena, but also observing and trying to reproduce the styles of the hand-drawn animation. So this is the principle of our visual effects. From here, I'll briefly introduce the cases of my career development. I started my career in 2006 from the film titled Tales from Earthsea. In the film, I developed a software to create a visual effect of wind in the glass. Wind in the glass. As you can see in the movie on the left, unfortunately, this is actual movie, not my visual effect. As wind blows, the wind pattern appears on the grass field. And the software I developed is on the right, like this. In traditional animation, such effect of wind is done by special effects artist, special effect division. They drew wind pattern frame by frame on a cell. Cell is a transparent sheet for character animation, painting characters. On a cell with brush strokes, they drew wind pattern frame by frame, like this. And this is another example, like this. So I need to mimic this style. So I needed to think how to imitate such hand-drawn style. In the software, I put a bunch of glass objects. A wind pattern was designed by users using external software, which is not simulated, designed by users. And each glass object flaps according to the wind, like this. And in order to imitate the style of traditional animation, I put a brush tip texture of brush tip on each glass. And this is the actual software. As you can see, there are so many switches and dials for delicate adjustment. And while viewing the result in real time, you can adjust the shape and movement of the glass object. From here, and you can make this. Like this. これが感じになって。Like this. From this software, this is the actual footage of the film. And another scene, this is not an actual footage of the film, but for testing the variation of usage of the software. Please note the edge of the hill and the moving flowers are also made by the same software. At the later stage of the production, this tool was modified to be utilized for the effect of ocean waves and streamlining as well. So let me show you that. You can see ocean waves here and streamlining here. These are also made by the same tool. So this is my development in Tales from a Sea. In the production of Ponyo on the Cliff by the Sea in 2008, I developed the software for making an iridescent color pattern of soap bubble. In the beginning of the movie, the magical soap bubble appears at the nose of the magical submarine. My software was developed to create a moving rainbow pattern for this bubble. The pattern was to be added on the highlight area of the bubble. The iridescent color of soap bubble is come from an optical phenomena called thin film interference. And this is the software. Inputting the animation of the bubble drawn by animators. And based on the drawing, the software computes pseudo three-dimensional information, such as normal vectors or depths like this. And from such information, this software compute simulate thin film interference on it. Then get and adding some noise like this, and getting the rainbow pattern like this. And this is the result. The output image from my software is on top left, and the final composite footage is on bottom right. And please see how the pattern changes as the fish crawls on the bubble surface. Okay. This is because the thickness of the bubble is changed according to the fish growing. And here are other results. You can see the trace of fishes growing the bubble as well. In the production of From Up on Poppy Hill, it is in 2011, I developed a software for making the reflected light and wave pattern of the sea, just like in this photograph. The story of the film was set in Yokohama. It's one of the largest port towns in Japan. So there were several scenes of seafront, so we decided to make this software. The developed software was like the image on the right. The height of ocean wave was approximated by combination of noise patterns with different size. And the reflection was computed in real time. The output image from my software is like this. And this is the final footage. When you look carefully here, you can find the reflection is waving. It's very subtle, but I hope it made the scene somewhat natural by adding the movement. In the production of The Wind Rises in 2013, I developed a visual effect to reproduce bokeh, the out-of-focus effect. At that time, we had started to customize Toons, which was our production software, by ourselves. So the bokeh effect was developed as a part of Tunes instead of a standalone software. So you can see the background is out of focus, it's blurred due to the out of focus. And this chopsticks is on focus distance. Bokeh is one of the effects for blurring the image, but it's not just any blur effect. Let me show you the comparison between bokeh and the most standard blur effect, the Gaussian blur. This is an original image with no bokeh or blur. And this is a result with Gaussian blur. And this is the result with bokeh. Gaussian blur, bokeh. Gaussian blur and bokeh. Can you see the difference? The difference is more prominent at bright part, like a street lamp. Don't you think that the bokeh result looks more natural? Compared to the Gaussian blur, in the bokeh result maintains brightness of the bright part. Also, you can recognize a uniform disc shape here and here. Uniform disc shapes in the bright part in the bokeh result. This is actually a shape of aperture of camera. So what caused this difference? Roughly speaking, what we see with our eyes or what we take with the camera is not proportional to the actual intensity of the light. The relationship is logarithmic, which means that the light part, bright part has much more light intensity than we perceive. In the bokeh effect, the image is converted to the light intensity before blurring. The intensity at bright part becomes very high. So even if the light is distributed in some area, it becomes still bright. These are the images from the final footage. The bokeh effect was heavily used in the movie. It is also used in the current production as well. Finally, I'd like to introduce my very recent work. We are now in production of a new film titled Kimitachi wa Dou Ikiru Ka. Actually, English title is not determined yet, but the literal translation is How Will You Live? For this film, last year I developed a new visual effect for reproducing glare. The glare is perceived by human eyes or camera as a set of radial streaks around of the bright light source. I'm sure you have seen this kind of phenomena before in a photograph of illumination or when you see a bright car headlight in the night. So, why these streaks appear? It is due to another optical phenomenon called diffraction. Since the light propagates as a wave, when the light encounters an iris, an aperture, or another obstacle, light bends here around the corner of it, like this. So the basic relationship between the obstacle and the shape of the glare is like this. As you can see, the light streak appears at perpendicular direction to each edge of obstacle, like this. So this is the optical principle of glare effect. But wait, Is it enough with simulating the diffraction phenomena for animation? Yes, before moving on, we need to know how is the glare effect represented in traditional animation. The glare effect in traditional animation had been created in the composite workflow. This is a camera stand, a device for the composite workflow in traditional animation. Here, stacking the background and transparent cells with characters on the table, then photograph together to form the final composited image. And we had two large camera stands like this in the basement of our studio. And we still use one of them for digitizing the background painting. It is quite large device. It's 4 meters high. You can see the character cell from Porco Rosso. And this is another photo of the camera stand. It's quite bright, but you can see the scene from Princess Mononoke. And another photo. The composite workflow was done in pairs. A cameraman and an assistant. And for this workflow, dust was the greatest enemy. They needed to be careful to eliminate static electricity, which attracts the dust for each material. So every visual effect were done by using the camera stand. In contrast to working on computer, since the effect is recorded on photographic film, all they can do is add light on the picture. It is called multi-exposure. They can't remove or cancel the light already recorded on the film. Now let's see the effect in the actual film. This is a footage from Whisper of the Heart. Ah, 過ぎちゃった. Let's see again. This car headlight. And in this scene, the setting sun through a window shows a glare effect, like this. Let's see the scene again. This setting sun through a window. Don't you think it's very realistic? So how do they achieve this effect? In the traditional animation, we call this type of effect the backlight effect. For example, let's see how to make this picture with bright car headlight step by step. You can see the streak, right? Streak like this, very realistic. Firstly, stack a level of the car on the background. Normally, the car level and the background, normally with no light. And the first shot is taken with half exposure. Secondly, take almost the same picture again, but this time, with light reflection on the road here. By doing so, the light reflection becomes semi-transparent on the film. It is called a double exposure technique. Then we prepare for the backlight effect. This is a schematic of camera stand. The top panel of the camera stand table is removable and put the light under the table. Then prepare the black paper. Cut a black paper out of the shape of light source like this and put on the table. It is called a mask. Then scratch up a cell, which is transparent sheet, with a sandpaper and make some parallel scratches in several directions and put it in front of the camera. It is called a scratched cell filter. By doing so, light through the mask spreads here at the filter due to diffraction and causes light streaks. So we put the mask in the shape of the head, shape of the headlight, and also the scratch the cell filter, then turn on the light. The light looks like this. Then take the picture of the light. This is the backlight effect. Now, you have probably noticed, but in the traditional animation, they had utilized the diffraction phenomena just like in the natural world. So now we can move forward with confidence to simulate the diffraction phenomenon for representing the glare effect. This is a detailed of computation, blah, blah, blah. So I will skip this. Now the glare effect is done. A unique characteristic of this effect is that digital compositors input the aperture shape like this for computation instead of inputting the light streak pattern itself. I think it makes the effect very versatile because this effect can generate various glare patterns according to the input aperture. For instance, 6 streaks, which is very common in the photographs taken by the camera with 6 blades aperture, and the cross shape from the star filter like this, and thin and many streak patterns, detailed patterns come from an irregular circle like an iris of human eyes, and the streaks in random direction can be generated with randomly jagged shape with like this. And reflecting the demands from the digital compositors, I also enabled the effect to distort the pattern by using noise in order to obtain a symmetrical shape. Actually, it is physically inaccurate, but this could extend a range of expression. And the glare pattern is almost done, but unfortunately, I can't show you the actual footage of the film yet. So I hope you will find the effect when the movie will be released. The conclusion: hand-drawn animation represents the beauty of nature by handwork. It also has a unique style. In my opinion, developing the visual effect is also trying to represent the beauty of nature, but by implementing the natural rules as programming code instead of drawing tools. And we need to keep in mind to imitate the hand-drawn style in order to fit the computer graphics in the style of Ghibli animation. Now, let me quote the words from Fred Brooks, a legendary computer architect. He mentioned as follows in his article: computer science is not a scientific discipline. It is an engineering discipline. The distinction he makes is that Scientists build things in order to study, and the engineer studies things in order to build. Computer scientists engineer abstract objects. That is, they do not engineer objects that directly serve human needs. Instead, they construct tools that server users need. In effect, the computer scientist is a toolsmith. I quite agree with him, and I'm just thankful in being able to work as a toolsmith with skillful artists in Studio Ghibli. Thank you very much. This is the end.
Thank you, Shun. Thanks a lot for this very comprehensive talk, and I hope that I hope that everyone was listening and that they have many questions. So let me ask if Adriano on the floor has any question for you, and let me unmute his microphone. Otherwise, I have many questions.
So I have.
So you start, Claudio, maybe, while Adriano.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Sean. First and foremost, thank you very much. It was crystal clear, very good presentation. And I believe it was a clear contribution to let a lot of people understand how things are done in the composting world. But there is something which is happening before that, and I was curious about maybe having some insights from you how Ghibli works. Imagine that you get a scene of the movie which will require digital compositing and special effects. What is the approbation process? So what happens? Of course, you start from the storyboard, you gather around the table, you discuss the effect. What is the process you develop and then get approved? Who is involved?
Okay. Okay, the movie in the Studio Ghibli, all the production is started from the storyboard drawn by the director. In this case, in the latest film is a storyboard by Hayao Miyazaki, Miyazaki-san, director Miyazaki. And for each scenes, they discussed how to make the visual impression of the scene. And about the developing the visual effect, it starts from the from the request by the my boss. He is a director of digital imaging. Okui-san.
Okui-san, of course.
Yes. he's a chief of digital compositing, and he's responsible to make the final image. And he always have the image of the final image to achieve. So when he imagine some difficult scene which is difficult to realize with conventional visual effects, he asked me to develop some new effects. So I rarely talk with director Miyazaki directly, but I communicate with Okui-san. He's a director of digital imaging, a chief of digital composite, very much to match his needs and digital compositors. So this is a process of my development.
So the digital compositors are contributing to make the effect more and more effective. Sorry about this joke.
Right.
And so at the beginning, Okui-san has the vision, should I say, he interprets whatever should be done. And from the open discussion with you, maybe there is some software to be developed, and then this software goes to the compositors, and the compositor use them, and maybe come back to you with changes.
That's right. So many times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And actually, the effect is firstly released very roughly, sort of beta version to them.
And is it, another question, is there any else? Of course, this is about digital compositors, but do you involve in those discussions sometimes other people from the studio? For example, if we talk about color palettes or if we talk about... So there are different people working with you in different moments, depending on the kind of effect, I assume.
For developing visual effects or other features in OpenTunes?
I would say for developing visual effects, where the color has an important part.
I think it's for developing visual effects, I think it's more rather focused in digital composite. Because its workflow is quite waterfall, and in the digital compositing process, we mostly talk inside of the digital compositing division, and also, of course, I communicate very much with Incan painters as they use OpenTunes as the Incan paint tools, and they always demands or they report bugs or other something like that for OpenTunes. So I need to communicate them as well. So that's my daily work.
Marco, I have another question, but maybe I'm just the only one talking. So
ask maybe... the question and then we will ask the floor then. Go ahead, Claudio. Yes.
Well, okay, it's about OpenTunes. I believe that it's now clear that you are using OpenTunes for internal production. So you are using this solution, which is an open source solution, for actually building the next Ghibli movie. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, anybody in the world can download a free copy of OpenTunes and use exactly the same software. Which is, well, maybe not exactly, but the same software which is used by Studio Ghibli to release their next movie. It is correct?
Yes, it's almost correct. It's exactly right. Now we already upload the glare effect in OpenTunes, or you can just download the latest version of the software. It's the gray effect is already included in it. So
it's just a matter of reporting into the software the latest development, which doesn't take place immediately. But at the end of the day, after a few months, anybody willing to download the solution will be able to use exactly the same effect, because in the meantime, you will have updated the version, right?
That's right. I said almost was because some effect was not included in the release version of OpenTunes, as it's quite specific for our movie. So it may be released after the release of our film.
Of
but
course.
It's still keeping our in-house. But, you know, the glare effect is 100% open source. So for today, you can start to use it. Exactly the same effect.
My last question, and then of course it will be for Marco. My last question is, according to your knowledge, how much the Japanese animation community is using OpenTunes? Is it a tool which is quite used everywhere in Japan, or still needs to be better known in order to become an industry standard? What's the situation there?
My feeling is that it's slowly, but it's growing. And it is quite delicate situation in Japanese animation industry, but for some reasons, it is difficult to completely migrate the software for making animations, because in Japanese animation industry, they work outsource each other. So it's difficult for one studio to migrate the software due to the, you know, the compatibility of the data or other reasons. But I feel OpenTunes is growing partially in the workflow. They can introduce OpenTunes, such as pencil testing workflow, which is to it is for animators. Pencil test workflow is for animators taking the drawings by camera and making the movie from it for previewing their animation. This is for such workflow, they started OpenTunes very much, because this is the best software for now. And also other purposes, they started to use OpenTunes as well from some specific parts of the production. I recently heard that in the latest film of Evangelion, OpenTunes also used for some workflow as well. I'm happy to hear that. So it's slow, but I think it will grow. And also, while I keep developing the software, improving the software, I think it will last for a long time.
I'm sure.
Let's see if there are questions from the floor. Let me unmute Adriano. Please go ahead, Adriano.
Okay. Anyone has questions?
Okay.
Okay, there's one.
How many time you spend about to make the glow animation in the movie?
How many time do you spend to make what?
The effect, glare effect.
How many time do you spend to make what?
Glow animation. The effect, the glow effect.
The glow effect, yes, okay.
Glow animation.
Did you use it just for one scene, or maybe it was used across the
entire movie? The effect was actually originally developed for one or two specific scenes, but I think it's, as you know, it's versatile. The effect becomes quite versatile, so I think it will be used for other scenes eventually. But actually, this one is originally it was for one or two scenes, which is very important. Some bright streaks appears in such scene, so I think you can easily find the scene when you see the movie.
And how is going the movie? How is it going? Is it on time? Are you on schedule or late? When will it be released in Japan?
So you asked when will the new movie is released. Actually, I have no idea for that. I think all staffs in the studio want to know the release date, actually. Because you know, that he trying to director Hayao Miyazaki trying to everything for the film this time. Because I, as you know, this time the director Hayao Miyazaki declares that this will be the last feature film for him.
Yeah, this is every time.
As always.
Yeah, it's always the same. So we don't trust him anymore.
That's right. But he tries to do everything he directly imagines. So it takes much time than other previous movies. So we all have, actually, we all have no idea the release date of the movie.
But at least you know how far you are in the production schedule, because I believe that you have a certain number of minutes in footage already done, and others which are still to be done. So are you halfway? More or less?
It's already past the halfway.
Oh, good.
I think, and but we in our studio we talk with my colleague when we'll finish the production. We expect, I'm sure, but the for in the computer graphics division, it will be the next year, spring next year or so, but we have no idea.
Okay, I mean, good luck.
Thank you very much. But we really enjoy the production. It's very fun.
But what about director Miyazaki? I mean, I believe that he's a master, and of course it doesn't need any introduction and presentation, but he's an old man as well. Still working in the studio every day or coming from time to time?
Yes, so. He come. It's amazing that he come every day in studio and drawing all the day. You know, he's total of the, he's a director, the chief of the movies, and he checked every scene of the movies.
This is why he's still young in the mind.
Yeah, he's still passionate and has imagination in his mind. It's really, you know, awesome, I think.
Let's see if there are other questions. This is Flora. Is this Flora? I cannot see her. If there are other questions,
I think
Flora.
She's Flora.
This is Flora, the mastermind of the whole organization.
There are no other questions, so I'll pass the mic to Flora for the final words.
Thanks.
Hello, Shun-san. I finally can see you, and I really like to thank, first of all, Claudio for coming here, and the panel you did yesterday was wonderful. Shun, thank you so much. It was so interesting. I can tell you that up to now, yours has been the panel with the most attendees. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And we really hope that soon you will be able to come maybe live here in Italy and do a panel again with us. So thank you very, very much from all of us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I hope to see you face to face.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
A big thanks to our wonderful Marco, who is not here with us, but you're here with your heart and soul, and we are with you, and we are waiting to see you very soon. Thank you so much, Marco, for arranging this. It was a dream.
ciao also to Evan, which I'm sure is looking at this strike. So, ciao, Evan.
She's the real gray eminence between Ghibli. So I hope that, Evan, you are listening to us, and we hope to have you soon also. Okay.
Bye-bye.
So if there are no other questions, I think we can thank Shun again, and we hope to have
thank you, Marco-san.
And also, also Claudio, that that's how we met and our friendship started. So thanks, Claudio, for coming both yesterday and being here with us today.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificas.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificas.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Allarme rosso, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì, mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
75%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 è pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 è posizionato.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.